morning. It's so good to see you this morning. Glad that you've come to join us here on our worship service. It's really wonderful to see this time of year for me. When I look out and see all the beauty of the colored leaves and the blue sky and feel the crisp air, it just lifts my soul. And I'm so thankful for this time of year and glad that as we come together, that God wants to do that for us as we worship. God wants to just have His Holy Spirit blow over us and lift us up. So again, I want to say welcome to you. For you that are visiting, we want to say a warm welcome to you, all of us, as we come together. May God bless us in our worship time this morning. Well, today, what will it cost you to follow Jesus? Let me begin by asking, how many of you like to shop? Is there anybody that likes to shop? You're not going to tell me, even if you do like it. That's all right. People seem to either love to shop or they hate it. And there are some people who like to shop, but they're put off by what it takes, you know, by the traffic, all the walking through some of the large malls, or dealing with the crowds, or just not finding the item they're looking for. How frustrating is that? Especially if they can't find the color or the size or they're after. It's just a real bummer. And that seems to be the reason more and more people are turning to online shopping to avoid the reasons that I just mentioned, because they have, it's a lot easier to let your fingers do the walking than it is to, when you're out in a mall and dealing with traffic. Now, I've got to make a confession. And I want to know if any of you have this kind of problem when you shop. Do you need the price tag visible before you consider buying an item? Or does that matter? You see, it matters to me. Because a lot of times I won't even look at something unless I know what it costs first. I need to know that. Most of the time, I have to see the price tag visible before I'm even examine the item. Now, my wife does not enjoy shopping. And she avoids it as much as she can. However, when she goes shopping with me and she tries on a new outfit of clothing or something, and if she asks me, well, what do you think of this on me? Well, my response is, how much does it cost? And if she says, well, it's only $20, and I look in with a real pleasant look on my face and I say, you look really nice in that. Now, but if she says it's $200, I look intensely at it and I have a puzzled look on my face and I say, that really takes away from your good looks. Now, don't tell me some of you don't do the same thing, men. You know, one of the most deceptive things in our society is keeping people from knowing the true cost of an item that is being sold. For example, a car advertisement on TV, it blasts out these beautiful showing vehicles riding down the road or running over rugged terrain, and they say this is only $399 a month. And I look real closely, but they never tell you how many months you got to pay for it. That's a problem for me. And then very quickly in small print, if you were able to read it in time, it would say, well, it takes $3,900 down, and that's due at the time of the signing, and you have additional costs for taxes and titles and destination charges, and they're not included in this price. We think we're getting a great deal by the advertisement and by the flair of how it comes on, and it might be a deal, all right, but it's more a deal for the not for the buyer, more for the seller, it seems. At least, maybe I'm just being skeptical. I don't know. But have you ever received a bill in the mail which gives the basic cost, but there are 12 different categories on the bill that lists different fees and charges and taxes, and you're trying to figure out what it all means, and none of it makes any sense. And all you know is that you were told that if you bought this service, it was going to cost you $98, but when you get your bill and it has all these surcharges, which you don't understand what they are, and you don't understand what they mean and why they're added to the bill, and what you're being asked to pay is a final cost of $168. That's a problem. Well, it is this kind of confusion that Jesus wanted to avoid when he called persons to follow him. Following Christ is costly. And Jesus warns us to count the cost first before we say yes to following him. Which of course raises the big question, how? How do you figure out what it's going to cost you? How do you calculate the cost of what it's going to cost you to follow Jesus? How do you discern the cost and count that cost, since each of you, each of us, every individual calling is going to be a little bit different? You know, more significantly, how do you count the cost in advance when we do not know what cost will be demanded on us in the end? So there's reason for confusion. Christ gives us an answer to this. And the answer is not complicated. It's not confusing. There are no requirements added to the bottom line. It's straightforward, and this is his answer. Forsake everything to be his follower. It's not confusing. It might be difficult to agree to. Christ gave that answer, and it's clear, but it's costly. Jesus turns to the crowd, and he tells them, unless you're serious about following me, you might as well go home. Now, Jesus knows that some of those following him are only tagging along because of hoping for a miracle, because they've seen some of the miracles, and especially if Jesus happens to perform again that miracle where he gave out free lunches, I want to be there, the people were saying. And so some of them are following only because they've been caught up in the popularity movement that has begun, that developed around Jesus and his disciples. So Jesus turns to them and he says, do you really want to follow me? Okay then, he says, forsake everything else. It almost sounds as if Jesus is trying to get people to stop following him. Now think about that. Could it be that Jesus, even in this message this morning, it sounds like he's trying to get people to stop following him, because as I read from his word and as I'm going to preach this morning, his word is that you got to give up everything. I don't know if you're willing to do that or not. I mean, I think you probably want to follow Jesus. You want to be all that he wants you to be. But I'm not so sure that you might be willing to count the cost and pay the cost. Now, Jesus just wants the people to know, and he wants us to know, what is involved in being a disciple. We need to know what we're getting into when we say, yes, Jesus, we want to follow you. We need to know that because the cost is high. So what will it cost you to follow Jesus? Salvation is free to receive, but it's going to be very costly to live out. As a pastor, I need to tell you both that God's gift of salvation is free. You don't have to do anything. But if you follow him, the cost is high. You need to know that. You need to know that so that you can do what you need to do to be a follower of Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about salvation here. I'm talking about discipleship. Jesus wants to do more for us than just save us from our sin. As crucial and as important as that is, and it is important. But Jesus wants to also for us to have the abundant life. And he wants us to deepen our relationships with him, and he wants us to grow in faith. Jesus wants us to be true disciples. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to share with you what it will cost for you to follow Jesus. You know, we haven't heard that train come through on a Sunday morning in a long time. You realize my day hasn't gone well today. I think God has a sense of humor. And I'm going to laugh right along with that. So I'm also going to give that train a little bit of time to get past you as well. What will it cost for you to follow Jesus? Well, first of all, you have to say yes to the cost without looking at the price tag. In other words, without even looking, you have to say, yes, Jesus, I give my all. I'm coming to you. I don't care what it costs. I'm going to follow you. Jesus is calling people to follow him in discipleship, and then he's reminding them that it's like a building a tower that you don't want to leave half finished because you don't have enough commitment or enough resources to finish it. You don't want to do that. And he says it's like going to war and realizing you don't have enough soldiers to win the battle and defeat the enemy. You don't want to do that. So Jesus says, be sure to count the cost before you sign up for discipleship with Jesus because it's going to be costly. Now, I don't want you to sign up naively. I don't want to say everybody that wants to follow Jesus just stand up and that gives a testimony to it. I want to say to you, you need to understand that if you make that commitment, it's going to be at the highest possible cost. And nothing later is going to surprise you then because you've already been told that it will be the highest price that you will ever pay in your life. And it will be the most expensive cost. Know that. That's the first thing that you need to know. In other words, you don't need to know the specifics of the cost. You don't need to know the particulars in your case. You need to agree, first of all, okay, I'm in. I'm yours, Jesus, at whatever cost it is. And that's what Jesus is saying. You got to sign on the bottom line without seeing the price tag, but you got to know that when you do that, it's going to be at the highest cost. Okay, here's the second thing you can say to the cost. Even if it is the highest cost, you'll follow Jesus. In verse 26 and 27, Jesus says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, and yes, and even doesn't hate his own life, and that bothers me, this word hate. Jesus is saying he cannot be my disciple. For whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. Now that's extreme language. The most extreme that a person can hear. And I think he uses it to show the degree of the cost that we have to pay. That it is going to be extreme. The first extreme that language he uses is, I'm calling you to something that is going to look like you hate your family, you hate your wife and children, parents. It's going to look like that, Because what you're going to be doing, people are going to be accusing you of just not treating them the way that you should. And the second extreme language that Jesus used is that I'm calling you to get on a cross, which means I'm going to ask you to be willing to die an excruciating death. And what Jesus is saying, and it's a metaphor, but it's more than a metaphor. This is what it means to be on a cross. You're going to have to join me in giving up everything. It's going to be like martyrdom. So counting the cost of discipleship means realizing that if I'm really going to authentically be a disciple and follow Jesus, it's going to demand the highest price relationally, even with my family. And it's going to demand the highest price physically. I'm going to have to give up everything about me and surrender it all. And so, what is the cost? What is it going to cost you? The third thing is that we say yes to the cost with no negotiating. Jesus ends a paragraph like this. He says, so therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Now, there are two absolutes in this sentence. It says, one is found in the phrase, anyone. And so, this applies to every person that would say, I want to follow Jesus. It's for everyone. It's not for just a select few, but everyone's got to make the same kind of decision. There's no negotiating. When I say, Lord, I'm all in, I give my all, there's nothing to negotiate. And that's the first thing you have to understand. The second absolute is not just that it's for anyone, but it's for everyone. You must renounce all that you have if you're going to be my disciple. Your resources may stay in your sway, I guess you could say, as a manager, as a steward, but you must be ready at any time to let it go. Let go of everything for the sake of Jesus. No negotiating. If he would ask you to do that, you have to be willing to say, there's no negotiation. So when Jesus asked, and when we asked, how do you count the cost in advance when you don't know what the cost will be in advance? The answer is, you assume the cost is going to be total. Everything. All of it. All possessions given up. All relationships given up. All of my life given up. That's expectation that Jesus calls for. Now, you might even begin to think, well, this sounds extreme. Why did you think Jesus taught this illustration? Because he knew people were going to have trouble with it. In other words, there's no negotiating here with Jesus. There's no calculating. There is no saying, well, if the cost reaches this much, and if you're asking this much of me, then I'm not interested in it, Jesus, anymore. You know what I'm talking about? I'm willing to follow Jesus as long as it's going to be on my term. But if the terms and Jesus says, nope, it's going to take 100%, and it's not when it starts getting tough is the time that you say, well, I don't think I want to do that part of it. That's not what it means to follow Jesus. And we don't like that. Hypocrites talk like that. Well, I'll only go this high, and when we get there, I'm not going any further. Hypocrites might say that. Well, no, hypocrites don't say that. Hypocrites lie. They say they'll do something, but then they don't. Okay. Here's the fourth thing. You say yes to the cost. And when you're willing to do all of those things, you receive a rich reward. Disciples are all in, or they're not in at all. That's what the text is saying. But let's make sure that we get this in the right perspective, because just a few paragraphs earlier than what we read in our scripture lesson this morning, but it's in the same chapter in Luke 14, Jesus said, after he had laid down some pretty high cost to the people that were following him, he says, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. In other words, there is no cost that you're going to be given up. There's no cost that you'll even be able to pay in following me that won't be made up to you 1,000 times in the resurrection. And we need to remember in Matthew 13:44, which says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found, and he covered up the treasure, and then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. And a man sees and sells everything he has, to get that treasure. In other words, all the so-called costs and all the so-called losses, everything or nothing compared to what Jesus wants to give to us. The gains in having Jesus, because He is the greatest treasure. When you give up everything and you're following Jesus and you have Jesus, you have the greatest treasure. You have the greatest thing that you can have in life. And so it might seem like you're giving up everything, but what you're giving up is nothing compared to what you're getting. So yes, we must count the cost in order to be a disciple, in order to be a follower of Jesus. The cost is total in principle and may be total in actual experience. In the end, having Jesus means gain, having it all. Paul says, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. When we say yes to following Jesus, when we surrender our will to His will, something amazing happens. Bit by bit, we are changed. Each time we keep saying, yes, Lord, I'm going to follow You. I leave this behind me. I leave everything behind me. I'm going to follow You. Bit by bit, we are changed. We're reformed. We're transformed. We're becoming more and more like Christ. We're becoming more and more what our heart and soul desire. We experience abundant life by God's grace. And we discover that the cost of following Jesus that we thought we couldn't possibly afford, we find that it's worth it all. Because the price has already been paid out of God's deep love for us. And when we give our all to Christ, we receive so much more. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, dear Lord, we come here today because we need You. You know our fears in following You. You know our struggles in wanting to follow You completely. May we experience Your amazing grace this morning. May You wrap Your arms of love around us today. Help us sense Your call upon our lives. And Lord, may each one of us say, okay, Lord, count me in. I'm giving myself to You. Help me to hold on to Your promises. Thank You that I'm going to make it to the finish line in heaven. Not because of my performances, but because of Your sustaining grace. I love You and I want to trust You, Lord. So I come now and I surrender all to You. In Jesus' name, amen.